4th of July deals are on at Lowe's. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances, including the Samsung Bespoke French Door Refrigerator, featuring Beverage Center and Dual Ice Maker. Plus, when you buy more, you save more. Now's the perfect time to upgrade your home with top Samsung appliances and hot 4th of July savings at Lowe's. Valid through 7/9. See Lowe's.com for details. Savings vary based on purchase amount. Selection varies by location.
Story 1. My name's Mike. Based out of Tulsa, when I'm not living out of my Peterbilt, the loneliness gets to you after a while, but the pay's decent, and I've always preferred my own company anyway. This happened back in 2018, making a run through New Mexico. I'd been pushing hard to meet a deadline, driving straight through from Oklahoma City. Around 2 a.m., I hit that stretch of desert highway where you don't see another vehicle for hours. My eyes were getting heavy, and I knew I needed to pull over before I became another statistic. There was this small rest area just off Route 66. Nothing fancy, just a gravel lot with some picnic tables. No facilities, no lights, middle of nowhere stuff. Perfect for a few hours of sleep without a lot of lizards or other drivers knocking on your door. I backed into a spot facing the exit, a habit from years on the road, shut down the engine, did my walk around, and climbed into the sleeper. That beautiful silence you only get in the desert settled in. No highway noise, no idling trucks, nothing but the occasional coyote in the distance. Must have been about 3:30 a.m. when I woke up to a light tapping on my passenger window. Tap, tap, tap. At first I thought I'd dreamed it. Out here, your mind plays tricks after too many hours staring at white lines. But then it came again. Tap, tap, tap. Slow and deliberate, like somebody using just their fingernail. Probably another driver needing help, I muttered, grabbing my flashlight from the side pocket. Truckers look out for each other, especially in remote spots like this. I pulled back the privacy curtain and shined my light out the passenger window. Nothing. Just darkness and desert scrub. The lot was empty except for my rig. "Hello," I called out. Knowing damn well my voice wouldn't carry through the cab's insulation, I climbed into the driver's seat, scanning the area. Not a soul in sight. No cars, no people, no animals big enough to reach my windows. "Getting jumpy in your old age, Mike," I said to myself, clicking off the flashlight. I'd barely settled back into my bunk when it started again. Tap, tap, tap. This time from the driver's side. My heart slammed against my ribs. I grabbed my flashlight and tire iron. You don't survive this long on the road without being prepared. Moved slowly to the driver's seat, adrenaline making my hands shake. Whipped around with my light and nothing. Again. That's when I noticed how damn cold it had gotten in the cab. My breath was coming out in little clouds, which made no sense. It was August in New Mexico, still hot as hell even at night. I switched on the dome light, checking my locks. All secure. Started the engine to get some heat going, scanning the mirrors for any movement outside. The radio suddenly crackled to life, cycling through stations on its own. Static, snippets of music, voices, then silence. "What the hell?" I whispered. That's when I saw it in my side mirror, a figure standing at the back of my trailer. Just standing there, too tall and thin to be human, almost stretched out. Couldn't make out features, just a dark silhouette against the slightly less dark desert. My CB radio hissed with static, and then a voice came through, barely audible. Not the usual trucker chatter, but something that sounded like a woman whispering. "Help me. Broken down. Mile marker." The rest dissolved into static. I grabbed the handset. "This is eastbound Mike at the Route 66 rest area. What's your 20? Nothing but static. Then the whispering again, clearer this time. "Behind you." Ice ran down my spine. I dropped the handset, eyes darting to my mirrors. The figure was gone. Tap, tap, tap. Right on my driver's window, loud enough to make me jump. I turned in the slow motion and came face to face with something pressed against my window, illuminated by my dome light. It had a face. Almost human, but wrong in ways my brain couldn't process. skin like old leather stretched over bone, eyes too large, too dark, a smile that went too wide. It tapped again with long, thin fingers, holding my gaze. Then it spoke, lips moving against the glass. "Let me in, driver. It's cold out here." Its voice sounded like it was coming through my radio, not through the glass. I fumbled for the ignition, fingers clumsy with terror. The thing's smile widened as the engine roared to life. "Just passing through," it said, voice crackling through the speakers. "Like you." I slammed the truck into gear and peeled out of that rest area, gravel spraying. Didn't look in my mirrors again until I hit the main highway, my heart thundering in my chest. Nothing followed me, just an empty road behind and ahead. Drove straight through till sunrise, hands shaking on the wheel. When I finally stopped for fuel, I checked every inch of my truck. No marks, no evidence of what happened. I've never pulled over at that rest area again. Take the extra hours to find a proper truck stop now, no matter how tired I am. Story 2. I never believed in ghost stories. Spent 15 years hauling freight across the Australian outback, and I always laughed at the blokes who'd come back with tales of phantom hitchhikers or lights in the sky. That changed 3 months ago. My name's Darren. I run road trains out of Perth, mostly through the northern routes into the mining territories. Do you know those massive trucks with 3 or 4 trailers? Yeah, that's my office. Home is a little place in Geraldton when I'm not on the road, which isn't often. This happened on a cargo run to Meekatharra. It was late July, dead of winter here, and I was about 8 hours into a 12-hour haul. The outback gets properly dark at night. Not like the city where there's always some glow on the horizon. Out there, it's just you, your headlights cutting through the darkness, and the occasional roo trying to commit suicide by truck. I'd been driving since midday and was starting to feel the fatigue creeping in around 8 p.m. My eyes were getting heavy, and I knew I needed to stop before I became another statistic. There's a reason they call it the murder highway. Drivers pushing too far, falling asleep, never waking up. "Fuck it," I muttered, pulling over at a wide spot in the road. No proper rest area, just a bit of clear dirt about 50 meters off the highway. I'd passed the last roadhouse about an hour back, and the next one was still 2 hours ahead. Sometimes you just gotta make do. I shut down the engine but left the sleeper AC running. Even in winter, these cab bunks get stuffy fast. After logging my stop in the logbook, I crawled into the sleeper and was out cold within minutes. I don't know how long I slept before the tapping started. At first, I thought it was part of a dream. This light, persistent tapping on the passenger door. Tap, tap, tap. Tap, tap, tap. But then the tapping became knocking. Not loud, but deliberate. Knock, knock, knock. I jolted awake, momentarily confused about where I was. The clock on the dash read 2:17 a.m. I'd been asleep for about 5 hours. "The fuck?" I mumbled, rubbing my eyes. The knocking continued. Knock, knock, knock. My first thought was another driver checking if I was all right. It happened sometimes, truckers looking out for each other, but I hadn't seen another vehicle for hours, and I was well off the main road. "Hello," I called out, not moving from the bunk. The knocking stopped immediately. I reached for the flashlight I keep by the bunk and shined it toward the passenger window. Nothing there, just darkness. "Probably just the wind," I said to myself, though there wasn't even a breeze that night. I was about to lie back down when I heard it. A voice so faint I almost missed it. "Help me." It sounded like a woman, maybe a young one. Her voice was strained, barely above a whisper. "Help me, please." Every horror movie I'd ever watched flashed through my mind, telling me to start the engine and get the hell out of there. But what if someone really needed help? What if there'd been an accident? I couldn't just leave. "Who's there?" I called out, crawling into the driver's seat. "Are you hurt?" Silence. I switched on the cab lights and peered through the windshield. Nothing but empty dirt and scrubland. The side mirrors showed nothing behind the truck either. The knocking started again, this time on the driver's door, right next to my head. Knock, knock, knock. I nearly jumped out of my skin. "Jesus Christ," I yelped, jerking away from the door. "Please," came the voice again, clearer now. "I'm hurt. I need help." My hand hovered over the door handle. Every instinct screamed not to open it. "What happened to you?" I called through the door. "Where are you hurt?" "My leg," the voice said. "I've been out here for hours, please." Something wasn't right. Her voice sounded off, not quite human, like someone making a bad impression on a woman in distress. "I can call emergency services," I said, reaching for my phone. "They can send help." The knocking suddenly became violent pounding, rattling.
Looking to buy your dream home or rent that perfect apartment? With the Redfin app, you'll know the moment your next place hits the market. Set up your gotta-have-it wish list, and Redfin will send you real-time notifications for properties that match. And when you're ready to see it in person, scheduling a tour is just a tap away. Thinking about selling? Redfin can do that too. In fact, Redfin agents close twice as many deals as other agents, so they know how to get the best price for your home. And with a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin charges half of what others often charge. So you could save big, like really big. Last year, Redfin saved home sellers $118 million. So whether you're buying, renting, or selling, Redfin's ready to help you win. Download the Redfin app and start searching today.
Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
If you're driving a car or truck with an expired warranty and suddenly lost your transmission or needed a full engine repair, would a $4,000 repair bill leave you stranded? I'm Danica Patrick. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Choose the company I trust, Endurance. No matter the mileage, if your vehicle is less than 20 years old, Endurance offers comprehensive auto protection plans for any budget. Protection on the drivetrain, electrical, transmission, AC, and more. Plus, benefits like 24/7 roadside assistance and rental car reimbursement on any plan. Endurance handles everything from making the claim through the repair process to paying the certified mechanic of your choice. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Act now and get one full year of elite benefits, a $2,000 value, free.
Visit endurancewarranty.com for your fast free quote today. That's endurancewarranty.com.
The entire door. Bang, bang, bang. Open the door. The voice had changed completely. Deeper, guttural, filled with rage. I dropped my phone and lunged for the ignition. The pounding spread all around the cab now. Both doors, the windshield, the roof. The entire truck began to rock violently from side to side. This wasn't a person. It would take at least four or five strong men to shake a road train like that. I fumbled with the keys, hands shaking so badly I could barely get them in the ignition. The truck continued to rock, metal groaning under the strain. Something was on the roof now, heavy footsteps moving from back to front. The windshield cracked suddenly, a spider web of lines spreading across the glass. Through it, I could make out a shape. Not human. Too tall. Too thin. Limbs all wrong. The engine roared to life. I slammed the transmission into gear and floored it, not caring about warm-up or anything else. The truck lurched forward, tires spinning in the dirt before catching. Something scraped across the roof as we accelerated, and I heard a shriek of fury that no human throat could make. In the side mirror, I caught a glimpse of something falling off the back of the cab. A pale, elongated figure tumbling onto the dirt. I didn't slow down for the next 4 hours. Drove straight through to Mika Thera with the cab lights on full and the radio blasting. Made it just as the sun was coming up. The boys at the depot wanted to know why I looked like I'd seen a ghost. I told them I'd nearly hit a roo and had a close call. They didn't need to know the truth. Hell, I barely believe it myself. But I did take photos of the cracked windshield and the deep scratches on the roof of the cab that wasn't there before. And sometimes, late at night when I'm on a long haul, I still hear that knocking. I don't stop in the middle of nowhere anymore. Story 3. Montana's a lonely place when you're hauling freight at night. My name's Ray, been driving semis for 17 years now, based out of Billings. This happened last winter on a route I'd taken dozens of times before. I was heading east on Interstate 90. Somewhere between Bozeman and Livingston. It was about 2 a.m. and one of those nights where the fog rolled in thick off the mountains. Visibility was shit. Maybe 30 feet ahead of my headlights at best. You learn to keep your nerves steady in conditions like that. Just focus on the road, the white line, and take it slow. I'd been driving for about 11 hours already, but I wasn't tired. Had my thermos of coffee and was listening to some true crime podcast to keep my mind sharp. The stretch I was on is remote, nothing but mountains, trees, and the occasional ranch turnoff. No street lights, no houses visible from the highway, just pitch black beyond the fog. That's when I saw him. A man standing on the shoulder, thumb out, wearing what looked like a denim jacket, in the middle of nowhere, in the fog, at 2 in the morning. First thought, poor bastard must be desperate for a ride. Second thought, no fucking way am I stopping. Look, I'm not heartless, but remote highways at night? That's how horror movies start. Still, I felt a pang of guilt as I drove past him. In my side mirror, I could see him still standing there, getting smaller as I pulled away. About 10 minutes later, I saw a rest area sign. I was due for a bathroom break and figured I'd pull over and stretch my legs. The place was deserted except for one other semi parked on the far end. The fog had settled in here too, wrapping around the lampposts in the parking lot. I did my business in the restroom, splashed some water on my face, and headed back to my rig. That's when I noticed someone standing at the edge of the parking lot, just where the light faded into darkness. Same denim jacket, same stance. My blood went cold. No way this guy could have gotten here before me. Not on foot, not in this fog, not in 10 minutes. I quickened my pace to the truck, trying not to look like I was running, but definitely moving with purpose. Got to the door, fumbled with my keys a bit, glanced back. He was closer now, still just standing there, still too far to make out his face clearly, but definitely watching me. I got in, locked the doors, started the engine. Told myself I was being paranoid. Probably just another traveler who happened to be wearing similar clothes. But my hands were shaking as I pulled out of the rest area. Back on the highway, I tried to laugh it off. Called myself an idiot for getting spooked. Too many late nights, too much coffee, too many creepy podcasts. About 5 miles down the road, the fog thinned a little and I relaxed. Turned up the radio, some classic rock station crackling in and out of reception. Then I checked my side mirror. There was someone in my trailer, not inside, somehow standing on it. A silhouette visible against the fog-diffused glow of my taillights. Just standing there, on my moving trailer. I jerked the wheel slightly before catching myself, blinked hard, looked again. Nothing there. "You're losing it, Ray," I said out loud. "Eyes playing tricks." I focused on the road, determined to make it to the truck stop in Livingston, where I planned to sleep. Just another 20 minutes. The fog was thickening again. That's when my CB radio crackled to life. No one had been on channel 19 for hours, just static. But now there was a voice. Faint, barely audible through the static. "Thanks for the ride." I nearly drove off the fucking road. The radio went dead, just static again. I switched it off completely. My hands were white-knuckled on the wheel now, sweat beating on my forehead despite the cold. I pushed the speed up to 75, fog be damned. I kept checking my mirrors, nothing behind me, nothing on the trailer, just darkness and fog. Then I saw the mile marker for the Livingston exit. Never been so happy to see a sign in my life. As I took the exit ramp, I glanced at my passenger side mirror one last time. The man in the denim jacket was sitting in my passenger seat, staring back at me in the mirror. I slammed on the brakes, skidding to a stop on the shoulder, heart pounding so hard I thought it might burst. When I looked over, the seat was empty. I made it to the truck stop 5 minutes later and didn't sleep a wink all night. Kept the lights on, doors locked. Told myself it was exhaustion, mind playing tricks. The next morning at the diner, I mentioned it to another trucker. He just nodded slowly and said, "You met the Livingston hitchhiker. Consider yourself lucky. Some say he's looking for the trucker that hit and killed him back in 87. Never found the driver. I switched routes after that. Don't drive that stretch at night anymore. Don't pick up hitchhikers. And I never ever look too long in my mirrors when the fog rolls in. Story 4, I've been hauling freight across the Midwest for nearly 15 years now. My name is John, from just outside Columbus, Ohio. Most nights blur together. Same highways, same truck stops, same bad coffee. but there's one night from 3 years ago I still can't explain. It was late October, pushing midnight. I was making a run from Indianapolis to Kansas City on Interstate 70. The weather had turned nasty, heavy rain slashing across my windshield, visibility down to nothing. Around 1 a.m., I noticed my GPS acting weird. The screen kept glitching, coordinates jumping, then it just died. No big deal. I knew this stretch well enough. But about 30 minutes later, I realized something was off. The highway felt different, narrower, rougher. There should have been other trucks, but I hadn't seen headlights for miles. I figured I'd stop at the next exit and check my bearings. The problem was that no exits were coming up. None. For almost an hour. "This ain't right," I muttered, checking my fuel gauge. Half tank. I'd be fine, but this stretch of road didn't make sense. The rain finally eased up, and that's when I noticed the mile markers. They were wrong. Badly wrong. Last one I remembered seeing was 152. Now I was passing 78. That's not possible on a straight highway unless you've turned around. I grabbed my CB radio. "Breaker 19, this is eastbound on what should be Interstate 70. Does anyone have a 20 on where mile marker 78 is supposed to be?" "Over." Static. Just dead static. I tried again. "Breaker, anyone copying?" The static broke. Not with a voice, but with this sound, like metal being dragged across the concrete, followed by three distinct clicks. My radio hadn't made that noise in all my years of driving. Then a voice came through, distorted and thin. "Turn back." I nearly swerved off the road. "Who's this? What's your 20? "Miles 79. Turn back." The radio died completely after that. Wouldn't even power on. I checked my mirrors. Nothing behind me but darkness. But when I looked at the road ahead, I saw headlights in the distance. Finally, another vehicle. Relief washed over me. As I got closer, I realized it wasn't moving. A semi was parked right in the middle of the highway, hazards blinking. No shoulder to go around it. I had to stop. I pulled up about 50 feet behind it and grabbed my flashlight. The truck ahead was an old Peterbilt, 70s model maybe. No license plate I could see. No company name on the trailer. Just faded red paint. "Hello," I called out, approaching slowly. "You need help?" No answer. I got within 20 feet when my flashlight beam caught the driver's door. It was open, swinging slightly in the breeze. But what made my blood freeze was the CB cord hanging out, stretched to its limit, like someone had been using it while standing outside their cab. I took another step closer, and that's when my flashlight beam hit the pavement. Wet spots, not from rain, darker. They led from the driver's door around to the front of the truck. My heart was pounding so hard I could feel it in my throat. "Hello, anyone there?" The wind carried a whisper. 79. I looked up at the nearest mile marker. 79. That's when the truck's headlights cut out. Complete darkness. I fumbled with my flashlight, pointing it toward the Peterbilt. It was gone. The entire truck. Gone. The road ahead was empty. I ran back to my rig, hands shaking so bad I could barely get the key in. Started the engine and floored it, not caring what direction I was going as long as it was away from there. About 10 minutes later, I saw an exit. Took it without hesitation. The road led to a small gas station, closed but lit. My GPS suddenly powered back on, showing I was on Interstate 70, right where I should have been all along. I pulled over, called my dispatcher, told him I needed a break. He wasn't happy, but I didn't care. Sat there until sunrise watching the highway. When daylight came, I checked my logbook. According to my entries, I'd lost almost 3 hours that night, time that didn't exist in my memory. I've asked other drivers about that stretch. A few get real quiet, change the subject. One old-timer told me there used to be a different routing of I-70 decades ago, abandoned after a pileup killed five truckers in heavy fog. Said it was around mile marker 79. I still drive that route sometimes, but never at night. And my CB stays off between midnight and dawn. Story 5. Been driving trucks for nearly 2 decades now, mostly across the Southwest. My name's Alain, from a small town outside of Phoenix nobody's heard of. This happened about 7 years back on a route I'd done probably 100 times before. It was late October, around 2 a.m., and I was hauling produce from California to New Mexico. That stretch of I-40 through Arizona can get really lonely at night. No streetlights, just miles of desert and the occasional pair of headlights passing the other way. I'd been driving for about 14 hours with just a couple of short breaks, pushing to make my delivery window. The radio kept cutting out, nothing but static between stations, so I was just listening to the hum of my engine when I noticed the temperature gauge creeping up. Shit, I muttered, tapping the gauge a couple of times. The last thing I needed was engine trouble in the middle of nowhere. About a mile ahead, I spotted a rest area and decided to pull in and let the engine cool down a bit. The place was deserted except for two other semis, drivers probably sleeping in their cabs. I parked at the far end, away from the bathrooms, popped the hood and grabbed my flashlight. Couldn't see anything wrong, but I figured I'd give it 20 minutes before getting back on the road. I climbed back in the cab, cracked the window, and leaned my head back. Wasn't planning to doze off, but the next thing I knew, I jolted awake to a tapping sound. Someone was knocking on my passenger door. Now truckers help each other out, but at 3 a.m. in a deserted rest stop, you get cautious. I flicked on the interior light and nearly jumped out of my skin. It was a woman, maybe mid-40s, wearing what looked like a waitress uniform, a blue dress with a white collar. Her hair was pulled back tight, and she had this unnaturally wide smile plastered on her face. "Need some help?" she called through the glass, voice muffled but unnaturally chipper for the middle of the night. I rolled the window down just a crack. "No, ma'am, just letting the engine cool down." She kept smiling, not blinking. "I'm headed to Flagstaff. My car broke down. Could use a ride." Something felt off. I checked the rest area when I pulled in. There wasn't any broken down car. And Flagstaff was a good 90 miles west, the direction I'd come from. "Sorry, I'm headed east," I said. "In company policy, no passengers." Her smile didn't falter. "It's awful cold out here." It was about 65 degrees. "Maybe try one of the other trucks," I suggested, reaching to roll up my window. That's when she put her hand on the glass. Her fingers were unnaturally long, the nails dirty and cracked. "I'd prefer to ride with you, Richard." I froze. I hadn't told her my name. "How do you..." "Your mother worries about you, driving these long hauls," she interrupted, still smiling. "She's right to worry. Lots of accidents on this stretch of road." My mother had passed away 3 years earlier. My blood went cold. I reached for the ignition with shaking hands. "You don't want to leave yet," she said, her voice suddenly deeper. "We have places to go, you and me." When I looked back, her face was inches from the glass, that smile stretched impossibly wide now, and her eyes, they were just wrong, like looking into empty sockets. I cranked the engine and threw it into gear, not even bothering with my pre-drive check. In my mirror, I could see her standing in the same spot, watching me pull away. About a mile down the road, I glanced in my side mirror again. She was sitting in my passenger seat, still smiling. I swerved hard, nearly running off the road, and when I looked again, the seat was empty. My heart was pounding so hard I could barely breathe. I drove straight through to Albuquerque without stopping, called in sick the next day, and flew home. Took me 3 weeks before I could get behind the wheel again. Story 6. I've been hauling freight between Wyoming and Montana for about 7 years now. Name's Rick, and I'm from a little town outside of Billings that most folks have never heard of. I don't usually get spooked easily. You can in this line of work. But what happened last winter still gives me chills when I think about it. It was late January, and I was on my way back from a delivery in Sheridan. The weather forecast had mentioned possible snow, but nothing serious. Anyone who's driven through Montana in winter knows how quickly things can change. Around 10 p.m., the snow started coming down hard. Visibility dropped to almost nothing, and I knew I needed to pull over before I ended up in a ditch. I found this little turnout about 40 miles from anything resembling civilization. It wasn't ideal, but I didn't have much choice. I parked, shut down the engine, and tried to get comfortable. The wind was howling something fierce, rocking my rig like a cradle. I figured I'd just wait it out. Maybe catch some sleep if possible. I must have dozed off because I woke up suddenly to complete silence. The storm had stopped. The silence was almost as unsettling as the storm had been. That unnatural quiet that happens after a heavy snowfall, when it seems like sound itself is being absorbed. That's when I heard it. A knock on my driver's side door. Not urgent or aggressive. Just three distinct knocks. Tap, tap, tap. My first thought was another driver had pulled in and needed help, but I hadn't heard any engine, and I would have noticed headlights even through closed eyes. "Hello?" I called out, not moving from my bunk. No response, just silence again. Then three more knocks. Tap, tap, tap. Same rhythm, same intensity. I pulled back the curtain just enough to peek out the window, but couldn't see anyone. The moonlight was reflecting off the fresh snow, making everything outside look blue and empty. Not a soul in sight. "Is someone there?" I tried again, louder this time. Another set of knocks, but now from the passenger side. Tap, tap, tap. My heart started racing. I wasn't exactly scared yet, but definitely on edge. There was no way someone could move that quickly around my truck in knee-deep snow without making noise or leaving tracks. I grabbed my flashlight and decided to check it out. I figured maybe some ice was breaking loose from the truck as it cooled down. That happens sometimes. The moment I stood up, the knocking intensified. Both sides of the truck now. Tap, 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 tap. Faster, more insistent. Then I heard it on the roof of the cab. Tap, tap, tap. "What the hell?" I muttered, frozen in place. The tapping moved to the back of the trailer, then underneath the truck. Like whatever was making the noise was circling me. It kept getting faster and louder until it wasn't just tapping anymore. It was a constant, rhythmic pounding that shook the entire rig. I scrambled back to the driver's seat and hit the ignition. Nothing happened. The battery was dead. The pounding stopped immediately. Complete silence again. My hands were shaking so badly I could barely hold the flashlight. I swept the beam around outside the windows again, half expecting to see someone or something staring back at me. That's when I noticed them. Handprints on the windows. Small like a child's, pressed against the glass from the outside. Not just one or two, but dozens of them, on every window, some overlapping others. They weren't there before. I would have noticed. My breath caught in my throat as I watched a new one appear on the windshield right in front of me. The glass fogged in the shape of a tiny hand, as if someone was pressing against it from the outside. Then another beside it, and another. I heard a sound then, barely audible over my pounding heart. A giggle, the kind of laugh children make when they're playing hide-and-seek. "Who's there?" I managed to choke out, my voice cracking. The giggling stopped. The handprints stopped appearing. Everything went still. Then I heard a voice, high-pitched, childlike, but somehow wrong. It came from everywhere and nowhere at once. "Play with us." I've never been so terrified in my life. I grabbed my phone to call for help, but there was no signal. Of course, there wasn't. The voice came again, closer now, like it was right next to my ear. "Play with us, Mr. Driver." My truck suddenly rocked violently to one side, as if something massive had slammed into it. Then the other side. Back and forth, harder each time. I was thrown from the seat onto the floor. The flashlight rolled away, spinning its beam across the ceiling, creating distorted shadows that seemed to move on their own. I scrambled back to my feet and looked out the windshield. The handprints were gone. Instead, written in the frost were two words, "Find us." The truck gave one final violent shake, and then everything stopped. The engine suddenly roared to life on its own, headlights blazing, illuminating nothing but an empty road and untouched snow. I didn't hesitate. I put that rig in gear and drove through the night without stopping once, my eyes darting between the road and the rearview mirror. When I finally reached the truck stop outside of Billings, the sun was coming up. I checked every inch of my truck. No handprints, no writing, no sign anything had happened at all. I've driven that route dozens of times since then, but I always make sure I'm through that stretch before dark, and I never ever pull over there, no matter how bad the weather gets. Some things you just can't explain, and some places you just don't stop. Story 7. Been hauling lumber across Idaho for about 15 years now. Not much rattles me anymore. You work these routes long enough, you see all kinds of weird shit. Dead animals, hitchhikers with crazy eyes, hell, even a couple of plane crashes over the years. But this, This was different. I live near Sandpoint, and I have a little place by the lake. Nothing fancy, just somewhere to crash between long hauls. The wife left 3 years back. Can't blame her. This job ain't exactly made for family life. It was late October, maybe 2 years ago. I was running a load from Coeur d'Alene up to Bonner's Ferry on Highway 95. If you've never driven it, there are these long stretches where it's just you, the road, and miles of pine forest pressing in on both sides. Gets dark as a tomb out there at night. I'd started later than usual, had some trouble with the rig's electrical system that morning. By the time I hit the road, it was already getting close to sunset. No big deal. Done this run 100 times, could practically drive it blindfolded. About 30 miles north of Sandpoint, I noticed the temperature dropping fast. My truck's thermometer showed it going from 40 down to 25 in under an hour. Weird for that time of year, but mountain weather's unpredictable. Then this fog started rolling in. Thick, soupy stuff that seemed to come out of nowhere. God damn it, I muttered, slowing down to about 40. My high beams just bounced right back at me, useless. The radio started cutting out too, just static, then snippets of stations I'd never picked up before. Voices talking real low, music that sounded off somehow. I finally just shut it off. That's when I saw the flatbed. It was maybe 100 yards ahead, matching my speed exactly. One of those older models, maybe from the 70s. No lights, just this dark silhouette floating through the fog. Hey buddy, you're gonna get yourself killed, I said to nobody, flashing my lights to warn them. No response, no brake lights, nothing. Just kept moving at exactly my speed, staying the same distance ahead. I picked up the CB. Northbound on 95, anyone see a flatbed running dark about 30 miles north of Sandpoint? Over, nothing but static. I sped up a little. The flatbed sped up too. Slowed down, it slowed down. Always keeping that same distance. What the hell? I leaned forward, squinting through the windshield. Something wasn't right with the cab. It looked empty. My hands tightened on the wheel. Maybe I was just tired, eyes playing tricks. But I swear that cab was empty. Then I saw something move on the back of the flatbed. At first I thought it was a tarp flapping in the wind. But there was no wind. It stood up. I still don't know how to describe what I saw. It was tall. Too tall. Had to be 7, maybe 8 feet. Thin like a scarecrow. And it was looking right at me. I couldn't make out a face in that fog. Just this tall, thin shape, standing perfectly balanced on a moving flatbed going 50 miles an hour. Jesus Christ! I hit the brakes hard, nearly jackknifing. My heart was hammering against my ribs. When I looked up again, the flatbed was gone. Just gone. No taillights disappearing into the distance. No sound of an engine. Nothing. The fog lifted almost immediately. Stars came out. The temperature shot back up to the mid-40s. I sat there idling for maybe 5 minutes, just breathing, trying to make sense of what I'd seen. Finally, I got on the CB again. Anyone northbound on 95 see a flatbed in the last 10 minutes? Over. A voice crackled back. Some local driver I recognized. Hey, Jimmy, that you? Road's been dead tonight. You're the first truck I've heard from in 2 hours. Everything okay? I didn't know what to say. Yeah, I'm good. Must have been seeing things. Wouldn't be the first time someone saw something weird on that stretch, he replied. My old man used to run that route in the 60s. Always said there was a phantom truck that showed up in bad weather. Story goes it was some logger who went off the road back in 52. They never found the body. I didn't sleep for 3 days after that. Still take the long way around whenever I can. Story 8. I've been hauling freight across Montana for 17 years now. Name's Rick. Based out of Billings, but I've covered every stretch of highway in this state more times than I can count. What I'm about to tell you happened last winter on a road I don't take anymore. It was early January, dead of winter, and I was making a long haul from Great Falls to Helena. The dispatcher had me rolling out at 2 a.m. to make a morning delivery. Temperature was hovering around -5, and the sky was clear as glass. One of those nights where the stars are so bright they almost hurt to look at. I'd been driving maybe an hour when my phone died. No music, no podcasts, just me and the hum of my rig. The road between Great Falls and Helena is basically a whole lot of nothing. No streetlights, hardly any traffic, and especially at that hour, just my high beams cutting through the darkness and occasional reflectors along the highway. Around 3:30 a.m., I was starting to feel that highway hypnosis creeping in. You know what I mean? When your eyes get heavy and the road lines start to blur. I cracked my window to let some of that freezing air wake me up. That's when I saw movement ahead. Something crossing from the right shoulder over the median. At first I figured it was a deer. We get them all the time out here, and hitting one can ruin your whole week. So I eased off the accelerator, dropping from 75 to about 60, then 50, watching this figure move. But something wasn't right. It wasn't moving like a deer. It was upright. A person, maybe? Out here? At this hour? In this cold? I slowed to about 30 as I got closer, trying to make sense of what I was seeing. My high beams finally caught it full on, about 100 yards ahead. I still remember the jolt that went through me. My blood turned to ice. It was standing in the middle of my lane, a man's body in what looked like blue mechanics coveralls. But where the head should have been? Jesus, it was a pig's head. Not some Halloween mask, but an actual pig's head, skin glistening wet in my headlights. What the actual fuck? I whispered, gripping the wheel tighter. I veered into the left lane to go around it, slowing to maybe 25 miles per hour. The thing turned. The whole body rotated to track my movement. That pig head swiveled to watch me pass. As I drew even with it, I made the mistake of looking directly at it. The eyes caught the light, reflective animal eyes but aware, looking right at me, recognizing me. Then it lunged. I'm not ashamed to say I screamed. This thing moved fast, impossibly fast, covering the distance to my truck in a single bound. I heard a distinct thump against my passenger door. I floored it. The engine roared as I pushed my rig up to 90, then 100. I didn't care about speed limits or road conditions. All I cared about was putting distance between me and whatever the hell that was. For 10, maybe 15 minutes, I drove like a maniac, constantly checking my mirrors. Nothing followed. Eventually, my heart stopped trying to beat out of my chest, and I eased back to a normal speed. When I finally reached Helena, I pulled into a truck stop with my hands still shaking. It took everything I had to get out and walk around to the passenger side of my truck. There on the door panel was a perfect handprint, but not like any human hand. The fingers were too short, the palm too wide, and embedded in the metal like it had been pressed with incredible force were what looked like hoof marks. I've requested different routes since then. I don't drive that stretch anymore, especially not at night. I've heard other drivers talk about strange things on that road. Figures standing in the middle of nowhere, animals acting weird, but nobody's seen what I saw. Story 9. Been hauling freight for 17 years now, mostly through the Midwest and down into Texas. Don't usually share this shit because people think you're crazy or making it up, but what happened to me 2 years ago still keeps me up some nights. I was coming back from a delivery in eastern Wyoming, heading south on one of those county highways that cuts through nothing but wheat fields and the occasional dying town. It was late October, around 2 a.m., and I'd been driving since noon. Not ideal, but I needed to make Denver by morning. The weather turned nasty fast. 1 minute clear skies, next minute my rig was getting hammered by rain so thick my wipers couldn't keep up. Radio kept cutting out between static, but I caught something about flash floods. Great. I was considering pulling over when my headlights caught something ahead, a figure standing in the road. Middle of fucking nowhere, pitch black except for my lights, pouring rain, and someone's just standing there. Jesus Christ! I slammed the brakes, fishtailing a bit on the wet asphalt. The truck skidded to a stop maybe 15 feet from where I'd seen the person, but looking ahead, there was nobody there. The hell? I muttered, rubbing my eyes. Fatigue was hitting me hard. Maybe I'd imagined it. Then my CB radio crackled to life with static. I hadn't turned it on. A voice came through, distorted and barely audible. Help! Accident! Mile marker 42. I checked my position. Mile marker 39 had passed a few minutes back. Hello? You need assistance? I responded, but got nothing but more static. Against my better judgment, I decided to drive ahead. If someone needed help in this weather, they were screwed without it. The rain was coming down in sheets, visibility maybe 20 feet max. I crept along, scanning the roadside for any sign of a wreck or someone stranded. Mile marker 42 came into view, and I slowed down, looking for anything out of place. Nothing. Just empty road stretching into darkness. I was about to give up when my headlights caught something reflective off the shoulder. I pulled over, grabbed my flashlight, and tugged my jacket hood up against the downpour. Hello, I called out, splashing through puddles. Anybody there? The reflective thing was a bicycle reflector, attached to nothing, just sitting in the mud. Weird as hell. That's when I noticed the footprints. Despite the pouring rain, there were clear shoe prints leading from the road into the field beside it. Fresh ones. Something felt wrong. My skin prickled despite the cold rain. I turned to head back to my truck. The figure was standing between me and my rig. Even in the darkness, I could make out the basic shape. Tall, thin, wearing what looked like a soaked suit. But where the face should have been was just wrong. Like the features were sliding off. I froze. The flashlight beam caught them full on, but somehow they still seemed to be in shadow. They took a step toward me. I swear to God, their feet didn't splash in the puddles. What do you want? I managed to say, voice barely audible over the rain. The figure tilted its head at an impossible angle, like its neck had an extra joint. Then it smiled. I'll never forget that smile. Too wide. Too many teeth. Need a ride, it said, voice sounding like multiple people speaking slightly out of sync. I ran, didn't look back, just fucking bolted for my truck. Scrambled inside, locked the doors, started the engine. In my side mirror, I could see it still standing there in my taillights, not moving, just watching. I floored it, tires spinning before catching traction. The last thing I saw in my mirror was that figure, still standing in the same spot, its arm slowly raising to wave goodbye. I drove straight through to Denver without stopping once. Told my dispatcher I'd gotten lucky with the weather. Never picked up a hitchhiker since. Never will. And I avoid Wyoming routes whenever possible, especially at night when it's raining. Story 10, I've been driving freight trains for Union Pacific for almost 15 years now, mostly routes through northern Pennsylvania. Name's Rick. I live in a small town called Weatherly. Not much to look at, but it's home. Most days the job's monotonous. Long stretches of track, dense forests, and not much else. You get used to it. This happened 3 years ago in late October. I was assigned to a night run with my conductor, Dave. We'd worked together for years. Dependable guy, former military, not the type to spook easily. It was around 2 a.m., and we were making our way through a particularly isolated stretch of track, about 20 miles west of Weatherly. The moon was hidden behind clouds, making the darkness almost complete, except for our headlights cutting through the fog that had settled over the tracks. "Gonna be another boring run," Dave said, sipping his coffee. "Fine by me," I replied. "Boring means safe." We fell into our usual comfortable silence, just the rumble of the engine and the occasional radio chatter keeping us company. The trees on either side of the track were dense, creating walls of darkness. This section always gave me the creeps, but I'd never admit that to the other guys. Around 2:30, we entered a mandatory slow zone. Track repairs meant we had to reduce to about 10 miles per hour. These slow zones are the worst part of night runs, makes them drag on forever. The fog had gotten thicker, which didn't help visibility any. "You see that?" Dave suddenly asked, leaning forward in his seat. I squinted through the windshield. "See what?" "Thought I saw something move on the tracks ahead." I hit the horn, standard procedure. No response. I flashed the lights a couple times. "Probably just a deer," I said, though I didn't believe it myself. The shape I'd glimpsed seemed too large, too upright. Dave grabbed the binoculars. "Can't make anything out in this fog." We continued at the reduced speed, both of us more alert now. The horn blared again, echoing through the trees. Still nothing. "Whatever it was, it's gone now," I said, trying to convince myself more than Dave. That's when we heard it. A scream. Not an animal sound. not a mechanical noise from the train, a human scream that started low and built into something that made the hair on my neck stand straight up. It was coming from somewhere in the woods to our right. "What the fuck was that?" Dave whispered, his coffee forgotten. I slowed the train further, scanning the tree line. Someone could be heard out there. The scream came again, longer this time, more desperate. It didn't sound like pain, though. It sounded like pure terror, like someone was experiencing the worst fear of their life. "We should call it in," Dave said, reaching for the radio. Before he could, the scream came a third time, but now it seemed to be coming from the left side of the train. "That's not possible," I muttered. "No one could move that fast." Dave's face had gone pale. "We need to get out of this section." I nodded and was about to increase our speed when movement caught my eye. Through the fog, about 50 yards ahead, a figure stepped onto the tracks. "Shit!" I hit the horn repeatedly and slammed on the brakes, knowing full well we couldn't stop in time. The figure just stood there, not moving. As we drew closer, I could make out more details. Tall, thin, wearing what looked like a dark coat. It was just standing in the middle of the tracks, facing the oncoming train. "Move!" Dave shouted uselessly. At about 20 yards away, the figure's head snapped up, looking directly at us. That's when the screaming started again. But this time, I realized with horror that it was coming from the figure on the tracks. The same blood-curdling scream, but now I could see the source. Its mouth was open impossibly wide, much wider than any human mouth should be able to open. And its eyes, even through the fog and distance, I could see they were completely black. I braced for impact, knowing there was no way to avoid hitting this person. Dave had turned away, unable to watch. The train passed right through the figure. There was no impact, no sound except that terrible scream, which abruptly cut off. Dave and I stared at each other, neither of us speaking. I checked the instruments, confirmed we were still moving, still on the tracks. Did you see that? Dave finally managed. I nodded, my throat too dry to speak. "We need to report this," he said, reaching again for the radio. "Report what?" I asked. "That we saw a ghost? That we heard screaming in the woods? They'll drug test us and send us to psych evaluation." Dave knew I was right. We rode the rest of that section in complete silence, both of us straining to hear any sound other than the train's engine. There was nothing. We never spoke about it again after that night. Dave requested a transfer to day shifts a week later. "I still run that route sometimes, but I always make sure I'm through that section before dark. I don't know what we saw that night. I don't want to know." Thanks for watching. Don't leave before leaving a like to this video. Also, hit the subscribe button to support my work. And as always, have a horrific nightmare, my dear.